Three, two, one, and welcome back to the SBH podcast. And in this podcast, I'm going to talk about the beginning of the fall run and just how to really target those bigger bass that are moving. And probably by the time that you're going to see this, it's going to be too late for us on Cape Ann and north of me to really get onto these big, big fish. But we should have a few more months of blitzing in general, but and big fish. Like, there are going to be big fish around. And I'm not saying there aren't going to be big fish around. We always get a good push of big fish in October. October is the time where we get that one last push, and then the bass the fishing ends up dropping off a bit. And I've been fortunate enough to get on some really solid bites in the past few weeks. But it's funny because it goes in like, there's waves of the fishing, and I've spent a lot of time the past week just moving and moving and moving, because I knew eventually I would end up finding that biomass, that bigger biomass of fish that we had 2 weeks ago, and we had a crazy topwater fishing. And then this week, or this past week, I guess is when you're going to be watching this, we got on a bite just straight off the beaches, bass into the 30-pound class, and that was super awesome, just right off the beach in flip-flops, you know, and shorts. I was just I was hooking into 30-pound bass, and that was super awesome because it's on a beach that I wasn't expecting there to be big fish, and I saw bait there because, you know, you got to drive around as much as you can and look for bait. I highly suggest bringing binoculars when you're doing this. I found bunker, I found herring, I've gotten skunked on beaches. It's one of those things that's just like been a constant move to stay up to date. And I had nothing going on this week, so I really wanted to focus in on finding those fish and finding the bigger fish out of the school. And I was like getting a little bit disappointed because we were getting to midway through the week and I hadn't found those fish, and I was really grinding to get on that bite. And then finally to get on a bite of 30 pounders for the past 2 days have been really awesome. It's been a lot of like mid or low to mid 40 inch bass, and then a few high 40 inch bass, but they're all super fat, feeding on peanut bunker and mackerel. And I have two rods here in front of me. I have a Lamiglass Carbon Surf. This is the lightest model they make. I'm just gonna look at what the specs are on this, and so that I can not sound like an idiot. So this is a 9 foot, 3/8 to 2 ounce rod, and it's moderate fast action, and it's light. Moderate fast action, light. It's a super light rod. It's what I would say is just above a freshwater rod, and it's funny because I use this rod when I'm fishing in the estuaries and the back bays when I'm targeting schoolie size fish, and I don't bring this out I don't bring this out if I think I'm going to catch big fish. And I have a funny story to tell you. So the story around this and this rod here and everything that's been going on here, and I guess then I'll tell you about this rod. This is a Lamiglass GSB John Skinner rod, so it's like a 9 foot two, and it's like rated from 2 to 3 ounces or something. What does it say? Sorry, this is just gonna, I need to like put one rod down, we'll pick the other rod up here. It's kind of hard to do in a closed area, but we'll make it work here. Okay, yeah, it's 1 to 3 ounce rod. It's a moderate fast action, and you know, so two rods, similar size, one's considerably heavier than the other, that being the GSB rod. And the GSB rod is a fantastic rod for this time of year where you're wanting something that's lighter and easy to just mess around off the rocks and off the beaches with, but is not super heavy to the point that you can't throw smaller plugs for schoolies and still have fun with schoolies. But you definitely want to have that backbone that this rod has. Now, the reason I'm gonna talk about this rod first is I got on this bite where I went to go mess around in the troughs after spending all day looking for bigger fish. And I happen to have this rod in the car, but I only brought out with me a small bucktail and a rebel jumping minnow. And I was just, I just, as soon as I walked onto the beach, I saw huge schools of Atlantic menhaden, but baby Atlantic menhaden, or as we call them, peanut bunker. And they were in giant schools and they were just moving down the beach and there was mackerel blitzing on them. I even caught a mackerel on the jumping minnow and there were small 10-inch bass blitzing on them. And not like crazy blitzing, but they were in there feeding on them actively. But out past, well, probably 100, 200 yards out off the beach, there were 40-pound bass blitzing on them. On something. I believe that it was mostly peanut bunker, but there's also mackerel in there, so I'm sure they're eating mackerel as well. And this was super cool because you could just watch these freight trains of bass just crushing bait. And I was just catching these little bass, and I was like, I know that what's going to happen is the as the sun sets, the bass are going to get closer and closer. And it got to one point where the freight train of 40-pound, 40-plus-inch bass, all the way up to 40, probably even 50-pound fish, were in that school. And they came in close enough where I was able to wade out about chest deep in the water and cast the little rebel jumping minnow as far as I could to get out to him, which was a pretty far cast. I can get at about 70 yards-ish with my, and I have 30-pound braid to 30-pound leader. And I managed to hook like a 44 incher on this thing at the end of my cast. And I proceeded to almost get spooled. And the good thing, and I have this matched up on a Penn Slammer 3, 35, or yeah, 3500. And this, the good thing about this rod or this reel is it has a lot of range with the drag. You can really lock up on the drag here, if needed. So I can lock up, and I'm fishing with 30-pound braid, so I had the ability to get tight or tighter on this fish. And you know, you can lock up to more than I would be comfortable fishing with 30-pound leader in braid. And I was able to eventually land that fish after a 5-minute fight, and believe me, I preach fighting your fish as hard as you can and fishing with big tackle to fight those fish as hard as you can. So if I knew that there was going to be bass like that, I wouldn't have been throwing this rod. And I managed to land that fish, and that was super fun because like that was off the middle of the sandy beach. It was an awesome fight on this, and I was able to get that thing in, and that was super cool, but I was legitimately thought I was going to get spooled. And the good thing is I freshly spooled my line on this thing. So I do have a fair bit of line on it, but I have a fair bit of line on it, but I also have backing, and I never would have thought that I could hook a fish that big on this setup and land it. And that got blown out of the water the following day, where I actually was on the rocks following these same blitzing fish. The big bass were not showing on the surface. They're all tiny little schoolies showing on the surface. And then all of a sudden you have a 40-inch bass crush the jumping minnow again. And now I'm off of sketchy rocks that I fish up to 80-pound leader into. And now I'm 30 and 30 here, and I'm hanging on for dear life as this fish again almost spools me. And it was just a nightmare. I was lucky enough that the thing went away from the rocks and it didn't end up getting me into any structure, because it would have been instant. If it touched me on a rock, it would have been all over before it even started. But it was luckily it actually ran out, and I was able to get it to run out and up, and it was just kind of on the surface, just under the surface, so I could see where it was. I knew he was out of the danger zone, and I fortunately landed that fish. But I had that rod pinned sideways as it was peeling drag for a solid like minute, like straight peeling drag. And I'm looking at my spool and I'm watching it get down further and further and further and further, and I'm like, okay, here comes my backing. And I'm crossing my fingers that the backing knot's good and everything, and it's going, it's going, it's going. And then probably probably 10 yards before that for the backing, the fish finally stopped. And that went for both of the bass. The one off the beach got me, I think, even closer to my backing. I was getting scared. And it wasn't like I had an insignificant amount of drag on this fish. I was probably fishing it probably 8 pounds of drag, which doesn't sound like a lot, but on a setup like this, it's a good amount of drag. And I know this is a 30-pound line, but with the fish and the hooks and the lure, I'm like, I don't know how much I want to try to force this fish into anything, but I really had to lock up off the rocks. And maybe I was getting up to that 10 pounds of drag on this thing. And the rod was getting pretty much maxed out, but it held up like a champ. I was able to turn that fish and I was able to get him in. And that was super awesome to be able to do that on such a light setup. But I want to get back to fishing pencils. And pencil poppers are really, really effective to cull bigger fish out of schools of blitzing bass. And the story that happened on the sandy beach is a perfect, perfect scenario to that. So I also had somebody fishing with a spook, and they were not catching, fish. And I talk a lot about fish spooks as much as you can, They're superior to pencils and that whole bit, which they are to a certain extent in certain variables, which I guess I've always said there are variables that make that not the case. But if you don't have bass showing, and it's flat calm, by fish a spook, because the spooks are going to outfish pencil 9 out of 10 times. And then, but if you have strong wind or you have blitzing fish, you're going to need that thing to get the attention of the bass. And I'm not saying that you can't catch a big fish on a spook on blitzing bass, but you're gonna, like, fishing side by side to somebody that was fishing a dock spook, it was probably 10 to 1 hits. I was getting 10 hits to every time they'd get one hit on their plug. And I was getting considerably bigger fish to come up and hit mine, to the point that I'm landing mid 30 pound bass on this little Pumba plug. It's the smallest Pumba plug, 6-inch pencil. And now we're gonna get into hooks. So I've talked a lot about hooks, and I've talked up these owner hooks, and I'm gonna talk about them even more. So for a pencil of that size, I don't wanna go any smaller on the hook in general, because what happens is when you're trying to match hooks to the weight of the plug and how it works, the factory plug hooks that come on this plug, and what 90% of the people that fish this plug should use and would work in this scenario, are 4X Strong VMC size 2 treble hooks. And the thing about the size 2 treble hooks and the 4X VMCs and all of that stuff is that hook is great. It's sharp, it's tacky, it lasts a long time in the salt. And it, for the most part, will hold up to a big fish. But at the end of the day, I didn't have the heaviest drag on this when I hooked that 30 pounder. Again, I probably had 10 pounds of drag. And 10 pounds of drag is a significant amount of drag, but it's not like I'm locked up here. Like, I fish way heavier when I'm off of the rocks. And I knew I could let this fish run, and I was letting this fish run and tire itself out, and it was running. And believe me, when it was running, I mean, like, it took a good 30 yards of line or more on this pencil. And so I knew it was running. And the funniest thing, and you'll have to watch the show because we have great footage of this, but I'm like, I got people casting over me. Two of the scenarios, I'm having people getting their plugs off of me as I'm fighting this fish. And I was just the whole environment was so fun because there was a bunch of people on the beach. There was a big crowd behind us. And it was just such a fun day of fishing, because it's funny because that beach holds big fish every once in a while in very certain scenarios, but it's weird because that beach in general, I know I said it holds big fish. It doesn't actually hold any big fish, but it's hard to tell. It's one of those things that's like, it's a beach that has potential for big fish in certain times of the year if you're lucky, like I was, but I've grew up fishing that beach. That's the beach that I grew up fishing, and I hadn't pulled a fish like that in years off of it. So it was pretty awesome to see that they're bass that big blitzing in general, to just see that was like, I've never seen that personally, bass of that size. And when I'm talking about bass of that size, I'm saying the small end of those fish that were in that main big school of big bass, the small end were 40 inches. In the big end, these were bass that were well into 50 inches. My dad was fishing right next to me with a pencil, and he had a bass that was easily over 50 pounds come out of the water, and probably over, it was mid 50 inch bass come out of the water after one of his plugs. So like there are some, that was a serious school of serious fish. And you know, this, we were catching big fish, but I use very specific things to get these big fish, and I'm using the lighter end of what I normally use. And I kind of lost my train of thought there a little bit, what I was trying to say. We're going back to the hooks here. So I'm using owner hooks on this. I don't exactly know that, I don't have the packet in front of me of what these hooks are, but I'm using owner hooks. I'm using one of their like premier hooks. They're expensive hooks. And the thing that I've noticed with these hooks is they do bend, but they tend to torque and bend. They tend to bend sideways. And like, if this is the hook shank, they don't bend out like that. They bend like to either side, depending on the torque that the fish is putting on it. And which is super important, because what you don't want is that hook to bend straight. Now, these are small enough and the fish are big enough that it would be very difficult for a bass to only get hooked by one of these treble hooks. And if it did that, the odds of you landing it in general are super low, but you would bend it out pretty quick. But if you get two hooks into these fish, which is what I've been doing, and these are big fish, pretty much as big as they get, these hooks have been holding up for how big they are. Now, it's been unfortunate that these are so expensive, such expensive hooks, and I bent out of two of them in the past 2 days, but I also bent out of two of them on 230-pound bass. So it's one of those things that's like, you gotta fight your fish, and you gotta fight your fish hard. Especially when you're off the rocks. And the second day I was fishing off the rocks, similar area, a little bit different spot, but off the rocks nonetheless, same group of fish, just morning time off the rocks in an area that produces well. And I knew that from the direction they were moving that night, the bait is going to move. Like if this is where the beach was, to the left of them, probably a few miles is where I was fishing. And that's where they showed up the next morning. And we, you know, I have these theories about, okay, how productive are pencils once it gets dark out? And I've always thought, well, you can pretty much get them until right at sunset. Now, I'm talking about last light of the day, we were having bass come up and hit the pencils. So that's pretty productive and interesting, something to note, that you can have a big bass come up and see the pencils at night. But as soon as that light went down and it was pitch black, they were out of there. No more hits. We fished spooks, we fished needlefish. Nothing happened after that. But then, you know, obviously the next morning the bite was as good, and it did continue for the next, and hopefully it does, because you're not going to see this until the following week, but I'm assuming that it's going to continue one more day. So, or at least two more days, I think. We'll see what happens though. And those fish are moving fast. So this bite that is right now, is on a beach that doesn't produce big fish generally. And I said it does, but generally it doesn't. It's really rare that you can get big fish off this beach. And believe me, I fished this beach 3 times a day for 4 years, every single day, and I didn't catch anything bigger than 35 inches off of it. So that was by far the biggest fish I've ever caught off of it. I have landed 30 pounders. Okay, so it's not by far, but they were off the rocks near that area. So I have landed big fish in that area of that beach, but never off the middle of that beach and never of that size. And that was really cool to see those fish be like that. So I have my setups here and what I'm doing with those setups. And everything was at the end of our cast. These fish were out deep. They're pushing the bait offshore, and that's where they were. So you need to get a good cast out there. They're over 100 yards. And they were feeding heavily on pencils. And I really wanted to talk about pencils versus spooks in this scenario. And the Rebel Jumping Minnow is a spook style plug. The Rebel Jumping Minnow is a great fish catching plug when they're on peanuts. And you can get monster fish on it. As you saw, I've caught two 40-inch bass, or one that was mid-40s and one that was 40 inches on that plug. And that is the same, well, that's probably, that might be one, size one VMC trout. Do they even make that? Maybe it's size two. So then that would be size three. I'm not entirely sure on the exact sizes, but those are fork strong VMCs, either size two or one or two. I don't know if there's a one. I'm pretty sure there isn't, but maybe there is. I don't know. But that's a size two VMC. And it's barbless because I'm generally catching small fish on it. And they held up great. But I, again, I have much less drag on them. And I'm scared with that rod, especially for the second scenario where I was in the rocks. I was like, I had zero faith. As soon as I hooked into this fish, I said, I'm not, I literally allowed, I didn't have it, I wasn't getting videoed at this time, but I said aloud, I was like, I'm not landing this fish, as it was peeling drag. I was like, there's no way. Because here's the thing, I've broke off more times this season on 40 inch bass and on really heavy gear. Like I'm talking 80 pound braid to 80 pound leaders and breaking off on that stuff on only 40 inch bass. They just get me in bad zones sometimes. And that was just pure luck that I was able to luck that fish in. And that's what I did. I literally lucked that fish from the hookup to it running and not getting me on anything. It was the luckiest thing I've ever done, really. And that was interesting because it was just such an interesting fight because the fish went out and then up, and that's textbook what you want them to do. If it was going down, it would have been all over. And it was going out and up, and I was super fortunate and super lucky, and that's why I landed that fish. Now, the other one off the beach, I was weighted out, and I casted, and it was an even bigger fish than the one off the rock, but the thing ate the plug. It was down in its mouth, and it went 4 feet in the air. So that's crazy to me because that was the only time that I've actually been able to cast into the biomass of 40 pound bass or 40 plus inch bass, 40 to 50 inch bass is what I should be saying. And I was not even that close. I landed the plug 7 feet away from those blitzing fish, and I was able to get a bass off those blitzing fish to come up and hit it. Now, there were bass in that school that were well into 30 pounds, well into 40 pounds, and even well into 50 pounds. And I could have, so as easily as I hooked that fish, I could have hooked a 50 pound bass on this. Now, do I think I could have landed a 50 on that? We would have definitely seen the struggle bust. I definitely would have gotten into my backing, especially how aggressive and how hard fighting these fish are right now. I would have been well into my backing, and that's monofilament, and God help that knot if I got into my backing there. I don't know if I would have landed that fish. It's something would have probably popped. But I hooked a manageable fish, probably the biggest fish I would ever want to hook on that. I had somebody joke once when I posted a picture of catch a 40 on that, on this rod, as in the carbon surf, that small rod. And I caught a 40, as in, I don't know if he said pounds or inches, but I did end up catching two 40 plus inch bass on this one that was mid 40s. And that was like so crazy, that I was able to do that. And I'm still like dumbfounded by that day because I went out with zero expectations and ended up with a great day of fishing, of monster bass and blitz fishing. And it's pretty much the pinnacle for us as striped bass anglers that grind days and days in, days out to get these, even one of those fish, and to get multiple of them, and to see the spectacle of them charging through bait schools is so awesome to watch. And it's something that I hope everybody has the chance of seeing someday, and hopefully the new regs and everything will make that happen eventually. But the Pumba pencil, I want to get back to the spook versus pencil kind of controversy topic, but in blitz fishing and fall fishing form. I really like small pencils. This is a small pencil. So I'm gonna say I really like 6-inch pencils. To me, are small, but they're also the perfect size. Like I have ones that are like 8 inches. 6 to 8 inches is my zone. It's my sweet spot for pencils that are gonna produce big fish, but not be too aggressive. If that makes any sense. Now, you could probably have thrown a hot stove out there and they would have eaten it, but I do think that the fact that it was the shape and size of roughly of a bunker, and it was thrashing like crazy on the surface. That's going to get those fish's attention, and it's something that I think that people don't take for granted or when they're fishing pencils versus spooks. Like, don't fish a spook in a blitz is what I'm trying to say. If you really want to catch big bass out of a blitz, unless they're feeding on adult bunker, that's the only time where I'd be like, okay, either throw the biggest pencil in your bag or throw a spook. But spooks call big fish. Yes, they call really big fish. But to get the attention of one of these bass that's feeding on this bait fish to that is real and live, to then see your plug and say, I want that more than this live bait fish, is a very difficult thing to do. And when you have a spook that's going across the surface, lackadaisical, that bass is going to be able to distinguish that. That is much more different from what I'm feeding on. And yeah, I'll hit that, but it wouldn't be my first try or my first thing that I'd go for. And sometimes the biggest fish will be like, eh. But if you have something thrashing on the surface where they can't quite see what's going on, and all they know is I'm frothed up, I'm crushing bait, this is another, like, I'm feeling the good vibrations from this, I need to eat this, you know, like after the plug, that's what they're gonna do. And that's what happened in our scenarios. We had multiple bass. I hooked one, I got hit, like, I pricked. That's probably the best way to put it. I literally stuck probably 8 fish over 30 pounds, some to the 40, and there was bass that were into 50 inches for sure in that school of fish. I stuck multiple bass that big. Only one of them got hooked, and it was actually the first one. Everything after that was the ones that I was dropping, but that was still awesome to see that there were big fish going after this, but they're out fishing a spook, and that was really interesting to me to watch these huge, huge fish that were in this giant school where somebody's throwing a spook right in the mix of three people throwing pencils, and they're only hitting, there's two of us, there's two people throwing pencils, and they were only hitting the pencils. They were not touching the spook. Yeah, I think they got one, but broke off on it, or like hooked one, but broke off on it on the spook. But again, and if you're fishing these scenarios where you have blitzing going on, I'm not going any lower than, well, I mean, I obviously can see that I have a 30 right here, but if you want to play it safe and you want to land all your fish, I'm going 50. I'm going to have a 50-pound leader on my plugs. And I hope this helps you for next season, because what we're in now, we're not going to see that those big blitzes like that probably again this season. We will see individual larger fish, and there will be another big push from those fish, but it's pretty much over. I know that the beaches that are very I know that a lot of the beaches, I mean, as far as where we are north, are bad, are north, like, or well, that's where we're catching fish, and it's in the north, northern side of Cape Ann. But these fish here are gonna have pushed more southerly, but they're out of Cape Ann right now. Those fish that we are catching that this week are going to be gone within 2 days. Like, we'll have maybe one other shot like tonight, maybe tomorrow morning, and then we're done. And those fish are going to be pretty much in Cape Cod by next week, I would assume. And that's sad and terrifying all at the same time, because those are the fish that are out of here early. Those are that's the second wave. We had the first wave 2 weeks ago where I, similar size fish, not quite as big, but similar size fish, all 26 plus pounds. Like, I don't think we broke 30, but there are some high 20 pound bass, all on little pencils and stuff again. And those fish, they moved through and they were gone. And then, as I said, grinded for a whole week, or for the beginning of this week. Well, actually it was half of that week and half of this week. So I grinded for pretty much a week as hard as I could every day, 3 times a day, to find this school of fish, and finally did. And we'll see what happens again tonight. Might be there, might not be there. It could be over, and it's going to be a flash in the pan thing. But if there's bait around, which when I was leaving, there's still bait around. There's still, every once in a while, there'd be an isolated blitz here and an isolated blitz there. But they, for the most part, were starting to break up a bit, which is normal for midday stuff. But as sunset rolls around, I'm going to be down there, you know, after dinner time, and we're going to try to get that next big slam of fish. And I'm probably going to end up posting this later than normal. I apologize for that, just because I want to make sure, and I know that I just don't want to burn anybody else that's fishing this blitz and knows of this bite. I don't want to like burn that bite. So I'm probably going to hold this until I know it's over, and then I'm going to post this podcast just because I feel bad if I blow up something where this is very, very pattern. Like you can pattern this very easily for next season. Like this is something that happens every single year. Now, this is the first I fish this blitz every single year for the past 16 years. And not really, but like I've fished this every single year for the past 10 years easy though. And literally I fished this every single year for the past 10 years I fished this blitz, whether I was literally using chunked bait and into these fish, which we were catching bass doing that, to the progression of chunk bait, to like soft plastics, to lures, to this, that, and the other thing. I fished this blitz from the beginning, and I've never had bass this big come through here, through this blitz. And I've had some epic, extraordinary days of 80 plus fish. 80, like, I think the record in an hour was 85 fish, and that is so stupid. That fishing in, that's, like, think about that. That was 4 years ago. We had the same blitz 4 years ago. It happens every year. But 4 years ago, I'm fishing this blitz, and it's literally every single cast on, like, every single cast 4 feet in front of me. I just pitch my thing out real as fast as I can across the surface. Boom, 25-inch bass, 25-inch bass, cast after cast after cast after cast. And then a line showed up and I left. And the thing is, like, and then I came back later and boom, they're still going all day, every day for 3 days in a row, and that's generally how long this blitz lasts. It's like 3, 4 days if you're lucky, sometimes a week. But they definitely end up it goes from being Goliath-sized fish, and then we'll get smaller and smaller and smaller. Then we'll have just trickle isolated blitzes of 25 inchers, and then it'll be over. And then we'll have one more push of blitzes, and this is later in the year, to like November. I've fished this beach in November and caught 30-inch bass. Believe that or not, that's insane. November on Northern Cape Ann blitzing fish. That's stupid. Had that happen 1 year, 4 years ago, or something like that. And that's just crazy because I didn't even think the bass stuck around that long. But they're there and they're sticking with that bait. I feel like I kind of covered a little bit of what I wanted to talk about. I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything here in my brain because I like to ramble on about random stuff that's happened. And you can tell I'm still hyped up because I'm gonna have the ability to probably catch a few more 30 pounders during this. And then, well, we do have another push in mid to late October of 20 pound bass. Like, we'll get into some 20 pounders and maybe we'll squeeze another 30 to 40 out of there. But right now is really the hot time. And hopefully, with this next full moon, I believe, coming in September, we are gonna have our last shot at a big fish, so 40 plus pounds. Because that's one of those things that's like we get the fish moving waves, obviously. The main fish are don't exist anymore. So and what I mean by don't exist anymore is like they're not what they used to be. So the main fish that you guys catch in Maine are like not what they used to be. So we don't get them as much here, if that makes any sense. It's really tough because there's different like biomasses of fish that move around, and there's ones that are deeper water bass, which is the bass that we've been catching, and then there's these that are like more silver, and then there are these bass that are more like an amber green color, and those are the ones that are in Maine. Now, those are the fish, the ones in Maine we see a good amount of. They tend to be long and skinny, and the ones that are silvery and offshore guys are the ones that we end up getting later in the season and that are really fat and thick. Not later in the season, but like when we get big bass, those are the ones we generally end up getting. And we will probably see, yeah. So we'll have this push of fish, and then we're gonna have good fishing around this next coming moon. So Cape Ann will be pretty lit up the next moon. Then we'll have one more big push of fish, in late October. I'm talking about bass 25 plus pound fish. And then we will lose all of them, all of the big fish. And then with And then I'll just be like 30, like a mid 30 will be solid. And we'll just deal with mid 30 inch bass until hopefully the very end of the season. I think one of my last bass on Cape Ann was like 35 inches. So, that was pretty sick because, it was just a good end to my season. I had a nice bite of, just many mid 20 inch bass and then ended it. Literally the last fish I caught on Cape Ann, was, 30, like it was not 35, it was probably 34, but it was still a really solid fish. And then I went to Cape Cod and did a little bit more fishing in November and got a few more bass, but that was it really for me of the season. And that is so scary to think that we're almost, this is almost over for us on Cape Ann. And I know it's not almost over, but like the big fish fishing is almost over. And that's really what I like to do. And it's still fun to play with schoolies, and I'll really miss hooking into those monster fish and, you know, heart rate through the roof type stuff, craziness. But, you know, I'm just so thankful and glad that the season's turned out the way it has. I was so worried that I was going to just suck it up this year and it just wasn't going to be good. But, you know, you follow the same rules and you follow the fish and you put your work in and you watch and you take notes and take and look hard at what you're doing, and you progress and catch bigger and bigger fish, and then more consistently talk to people that are really good at doing it. I mean, a lot of people are super friendly in this thing and in this whole sport that are more knowledgeable than I am. And I even go and I DM and talk to these guys all the time that are way better fishermen than I am. And if you're fortunate enough to fish with somebody that's really good, that also is even, I mean, obviously, because you can ask them questions on the fly about things, but that's always a good way to get good knowledge on things. And it's just, I just hope that like everything that we're doing here and everything that I'm trying to do is all for like the love of the sport, and everything that all these fish we're catching and everything that I'm talking about, I want to share to you guys as soon as I can. But at the same time, I want to be respectful of the guys that are also fishing this, which are one or two others that know of this bite. But and so that's why I'm not sharing. This is what I'm trying to say. It's like, I don't want to share this. And I think I was probably one of the first people to find these blitzing fish, because I was down there early. Nobody else was on the beach. And I was following these bait schools. And then one other person showed up, and then another person showed up. And that was at the very beginning. And that was it, really. Or really one person showed up. And then today, there was one other person. I was up early, before sunrise. I knew they were going to be there. And I showed up there right before sunrise. And sure enough, as soon as the sun, boop, passed the surface, bass jumping all over the place. There's so much bait, you could see it in the dark. And as soon as the sun came up, there's bass jumping. And I was into some 25 inchers for a little while, and then they started to move out further, and that was when the fishing got worse and worse. But we were able to squeeze a few nice ones out of it before that happened. Obviously, if you can get into a big fish on the small rod, that's super sick, but then getting into a big fish on the bigger rod, that's even sicker. And it's funny because the same equivalent, like matching the rods, like, this is a much heavier, the GSB is a much heavier rod and it has a much bigger backbone to it. And it was as pressed as that small carbon surf on those 30 pounders for sure. And I love this video, and that video means so much to me because I was literally fishing with my dad and we were fishing side by side, and he was having huge fish come up and blow up on his stuff. And I was having big fish blow, and I was hooking into big fish. And, that was literally the first spot I ever fished in my entire life. Well, saltwater fishing ever. That was the first saltwater fishing I ever did in my entire life, was in that exact spot, chunk bait, didn't catch anything. And the fact that I was able to redeem that many years later, and 10 years later probably, and we were able to redeem that to be catching monster fish. He got a 38 incher, I got a almost 38 pounder. I think it was, I don't know, it was mid, I said it was 34 on camera, but that was just a number that I saw, you know, so it was probably 38, maybe more, 35 or 38. I don't think it was quite 40 pounds, but it was so thick and long and beautiful fish. And that thing kicked so hard. It got him, like, literally, as soon as I put him in the water, he was out of there. You could see it. I was holding on to his tail, right out of my hand. Big kick, just ripped right out of my hand. And I'm like, that's, if all fish could release like that, that'd be awesome. And I fight fish so much harder than that. I did that fish right there. And and they don't release like that. And the water's warm. This water's hot. I'd even, like, it's comfortable to be in. And the bass are just really frothed up because they are out of there as soon as, like, when you get them in, they're big and you fight them for a while. Even on the light setup, when I was fighting the 44 on the light setup, that fish kicked off instantly too. And these bass are like, I'm like fighting these, like, I had to fight that fish for 5 minutes. And put that into perspective, by the way. That's on a light rod, a light reel, and light line for me. And I was able to whip that fish in 5 minutes. Now, I would wager if you were fishing that normally, with what line you would put on that. So it's probably rated up to 20-pound line for both. So most people probably fish 20-pound line on this. And if I had 20-liter, I wouldn't have been, it would have been hopeless, first of all. But you would have had to fight that fish for over 10 minutes to land it. And by that point, the fish is pretty much dead. You don't want to be fighting fish for, like, 5 minutes is too long to fight a bass, in my opinion. And that's why I, like, you can't, like, gauge that there's going to be fish like that in those schools when you're seeing these little schoolies jumping, like, literally 5-inch schoolies jumping out of the water after these peanuts. And you're sitting in my shoes and I'm like, okay, am I going to throw this giant setup in here, this big pencil, into these 5-inch bass? Or am I going to take my lighter setup and throw that in there and just give them a prayer to pull on my line? And so that's what I chose. And of course, a giant fish came up. And this happened both days. Like, I didn't think that they're actually that big, but they were actually that big. And then you put in a big pencil, and then that's just, and that was it. The bass were on it, and they love pencils. Again, I am not the, like, I like pencils. I love fishing pencils in many different scenarios, but I also think spooks work so well as well. And I've been preaching them, and now I'm catching such big fish on these, on this pencil here. And I'm working with Pumba Plugs to make that pencil as good as it can possibly be for big fish. And I did talk about this, but when we built that, that's the Tinker with a belly hook. And so the small Pumba pencil, I used his design model, and I switched it around to my preferences. And that's what's in that pencil, is my preferences for fishing a pencil popper. And I don't like really heavy sinking pencils. I like pencils that float high, are easy to work. Now, they're not the best for casting, but they end up shredding more water, and it's gives it more action. And that's what that pencil has. And now that it's been fished a lot, it's been banged off rocks, it's been eaten by a lot of big fish, it's now 2 years old, it gets a little bit waterlogged, and so it starts to sink, which makes it a little bit more difficult to work. But it's still been calling these big fish in like you wouldn't believe. But the one thing that I need to figure out is the hook situation, because I don't want to bend out hooks like this, but I don't know what else I can put on this. I don't want to put smaller hooks on it, because then I'm never going to hook anything of size. It's going to be a lot harder for me to hook anything. But the good thing about these hooks is they're so sharp and pointy that when you hook into these fish, they're so grippy and so strong that generally you don't screw up the hook set, or I did multiple times the other day, so I can't say that. But once you get good hooks into it, they've been sticking. They haven't been pulling as much. I'm knock on wood for that, because now I'm gonna pull a fish tonight that's monstrous. But it's only a matter of time, and I'll take what I can get right now. If the fact that I got as many big fish as I have, I'm super stoked with that. And if I end up dropping a few big ones, it's gonna be sucky, but it's also gonna be like, probably deserved it. And I don't feel like karma. I'm not big on like karma and superstition, but to the fact that I just think that like what happens, and it generally is on you if you make a mistake or something happens. Sometimes you just get unlucky And even luck, I mean, I always talk about, I don't really like luck, because it's not luck, it's just what happens. And if you land a fish, that's what happens. If you lose that fish, that's what happens. And because if you get too far down that rabbit hole of luck and karma, then whatever. But I do believe in hard work, and I do believe in if you go through a very hard time of not catching a lot of fish and really pushing yourself to get onto those bigger fish, I do think that that pays off in the long run, because I've had days where I've lost so many large fish. You snap off, you finally land, you finally get a big fish in, you try to leader at your leader snaps. Had that happen with the 40 pounder, so like the other week, and stuff like that happens. So, and when you have sucky things like that happen, eventually you'll have something awesome happen, like walking down in flip-flops, a t-shirt, and a hoodie, and just like for fun on this popular beach that for swimming and stuff. And hooking into an absolute monster fish or multiple monster fish, and it just being a whole great time. And yeah, and it just being pretty much once in a lifetime blitz fishing for me, because in my lifetime I've never seen that. And if the fishery gets worse, we will never see that again. So we'll see what happens. They just need to put a moratorium on them, because it's all catch and release at that point, right? I don't know. So we just need like a moratorium for sure. Moratorium needs to happen, I think, because at the end of the day, these fish are not like the greatest eating. I mean, they're good, but they're not the greatest eating fish in the world. They're so much more valued as game fish, as like a game. Well, that's what it's called, right? As a fish that you fish for sport. Yeah, I just think that hopefully we can get a rebound in the population, because it's funny, because you talked, I've talked this past week, I've been fortunate enough to talk to some really, really knowledgeable fishermen and learn a lot and listen to their stories of what it used to be like. And again, to me, I haven't seen what it was when it was at its peak ever. So to hear all these stories at this time of year, and to hear how worse it is, and all this, and seeing all this bait, and being with them, being like, there are schools of herring swimming down the beach here, and there's nothing on them, is like, it's painful to watch, because they're like, well, 15 years ago we were getting 80-pound bass off, not really, but like they're catching 50-pound bass blitzing on these herring. And that's something that you're just like, it's just one of those things that hopefully I end up seeing a bass like that in my lifetime. I would love to see, I've seen 50-pound bass, I've caught a 50-pound bass, but I would love to see a bass in the 60 pounds. I would be very, very happy to see a 60-pound bass in my lifetime. That would be super cool. And like, I really don't care if I see it swimming in the water in front of me, just to see a bass that big would be epic. But another good thing about the fall is when these bass are gorging themselves as much as they can on bait. And that, in why I'm segueing into this like big fish thing, is because we're gonna end up seeing, or if you want to catch a 50-pound bass, you might have lost your time, but really, from 2 weeks ago to now is really our best time to get bass in the 50 pounds this season. Maybe this coming moon phase, but right now is probably the best time. That's when they're gorging themselves on all this migratory bait before they bail to New York, New Jersey, and then you guys have your best shots at getting some 50s in there. And we will see what happens tonight, but I have a great feeling that we're going to see those fish back. Whether they come close enough to the beach, that's going to be the big question. If they get in close enough to the beach, we are going to see some absolute tankers. And when I mean tankers, I mean, now that I know what this bite's doing, and now that I know where these big fish are and how to catch them, I'm wanting to see a bass over 40 pounds on a pencil. I'm hoping that this hook right here, which has been, I bent one hook out, bent it back, and was fishing with it. Change that hook out, then hooked a big bass only on the tail hook, bent this thing like this, like a little pretzel here, pretty much. And I changed that hook out. But here's the thing that's scaring the crap out of me is I hate things that I know are failing. And I always am like, okay, can I upgrade that? and how heavy can I upgrade that? And I need something that's only that weight. Like, I need the plug to be that weight to be able to work. I can't make it any heavier, for the love of God, and I can't make my hooks any smaller. And I think that this is as powerful as I can get. Leave a comment below if you can find a stronger hook than these owner hooks, right? I think that's what these are. Than these owner hooks. I don't know exactly what they are. They're like the probably, if not the top of the line owner hook that I know that they have for this size, but they're like up there with like the top three best owner hooks, that strongest owner hooks they have. They're expensive as heck. Like, I think it's like $25 for a pack of these things or something crazy like that. So again, don't like having that happen to these things, because it's what, like $4 hook pretty much. So yeah, so it's like, it's, you pay for what you get. I mean, it's a small, sharp, strong hook, but it's not strong enough for what I'm doing, and it's scaring the crap out of me. But the thing is, they really are liking that size, and that's what's good and bad all at the same time. So I think I'm gonna probably end this podcast here. I want to cover one topic, one more thing about blitz fishing, and that is, don't be an idiot by chasing the schools around. And what I mean by that is, the amount of times that I've, especially on the rocks where it's much more difficult to like get to where these fish are, you see a fish blitz, it's only gonna be there for seconds, and then those school of bass are gone. Now there's a difference between, you know, schoolies blitzing, and then you have these 40 pounders blitzing. If you can get to it where there's 40 pounders crashing on the surface, then pull right up onto those 40 pounders and launch it out there. Obviously, if there's somebody's fishing right there, be respectful, give them. But blitz fishing is one of those things that, to me, like, I don't care if you were in a lineup, if you pull up next to me, right next to me, and fish, is what it is. And in fact, you'll watch in one of the shows, you'll be able to see when I hooked this fish. I had my dad cast over me. Actually, I think my fish swam into his line. And then I had another guy cast over my line. So I had two people around my line as I'm having this fish peel drag. I was like, okay, this is not, I knew I was going to land him, but I was like, this is going to be an absolute crapshoot. Yeah, but it is what it is. If you can, I what I like to say is 10 feet is respectable to me. Like, if somebody pulls 10 feet up to my side, I'm like, and we're fishing a mad blitz, he's not stealing any fish from me. There's so many bass out there. You can pull 10 feet up to me, I'm not gonna cry about it. Some guys might, but like, to me, if you're fishing on a beach, if there's one giant school of bass and they're blitzing, there's no point in me being selfish and being like, you can't come near my fish. Because at the end of the day, like, it's, everybody wants to get on the same, everybody's doing it for the same reason here. And if you were in that position, you'd want to be able to pull up and cast on that school, and is what it is. But boat guys, that's a whole other story. You and your boats. I was in too good of a mood to yell at the boat guy today, but I had these two fly fishermen, and I landed a 30 pounder, and like, I just cast it out and landed a 30 pounder. And there's this huge school up, and also they're stupid because they pull, there's a school of 30 pound bass blitzing and like swirling on under the surface, and you watch this thing just moving along. And I pulled one nice one out of that, and I'm releasing that fish, and they pull up in between, and they saw me releasing the fish. I don't think they saw me fighting it, so I don't know exactly where it is. But at the same time, you're in a boat and you can look down onto the water and see that there are fish moving. I'm level with the water and I can see these fish. And they go right in front of me, in between me and where the fish are. And I'm like, guys, cast out your left side. There's 40 pound bass there. And they're just talking to me about, oh, how big is that fish? And I'm like, it was 30 pounds, but you could also have that 30, 40 pound fish if you just pitched or fly out literally 5 feet to your right and strip twice, you'd be on a big fish. And I said that to them, and they didn't cast. And I was like, oh my God, you guys are so stupid. Because I was telling them that there are fish right behind them, and they didn't even look at these bass. And then they moved past, and then I cast over there, and I have two giant 40-inch bass fighting over this plug. I didn't end up hooking them because they knocked it under the water, and it was under the surface, and then that school moved on. But that was the fishing we were dealing with, where it's been like, you get one out of many hits, you'll get one fish, and which is fun. I mean, it's part of the game, but I just enjoy it so much. But I want to talk about following these schools here a little bit more. So generally the bait's going to point in one direction if they're getting blitzed on, and they're going to go. And that bait's just going to move in that direction. Now, what the bass try to do is either get into the front of it or the back of it, and they just truck through all that stuff. And what you need to do is, if you see the bait, if you see them moving in one direction, just, you know, keep yourself up or find a spot, stick with it, cast straight out, cast over to them if you see them coming, and or, you know, straight out, and you'll either get a random fish that's just cruising, and those fish are big, or you'll end up getting, or that school's gonna move right in front of you eventually. And then the other thing you can do is you can watch for current. And so on sandy beaches, you can see the clear water, and that was what I was doing. There's darker water on either side and clear water coming down to the middle here. And so I staged up right in the middle of this beach where this clear water is coming right down. And this is when the bass stopped showing. And that's when we had those bass into the mid-50, and I'm not even joking you, we had bass into mid-50 inches coming out of the water for these plugs. And that's where we caught like the 30 pounder and everything like that. And you could just see there's like, it was a siphon. That's where the fish were running, right in that zone. And it's something to pay attention to. If you can watch the current and you can play the current, you can have all these guys like trying to beat up on these schools. You just play this current seam. That's where the big fish are going to be chilling. And there's not even that much current. You can just see the color difference in the water, and you know, okay, that's where the bass are going to be. And sure enough, I had somebody to the right and to the left of me. And nobody, it was like us in the middle, and we were banging fish every single cast. Bass were coming up and whacking at us, and they were huge. Okay, I'm so energized and hyped up for my own fishing this evening, which is coming. And I hope that you guys can take something away from this for next season, or maybe for the season to come, or I guess the rest of this season. If you're further south than us, you're going to be getting those fish really soon. And there are some big bass coming, and there's some big bass that are coming, and there's big bass that are leaving, and that's the way it's going right now. It's just that's the fall run. You're going to get those waves, but I am going to hold this podcast for a bit, so it's going to probably come out maybe on the weekend. This is going to be like 2 weeks later, probably, from when I record this, just because I want to hold this for the people that are, fishing this bite. So again, thank you guys so much for, listening and watching this podcast. I hope you guys could take something away from this. And I hope you guys are going to get onto some great blitzes in the future.